Second of Chronicles, chapter 35. Josiah kept a Passover to Yahweh in Jerusalem. They killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. He set the priests in their offices and encouraged them to do the service of the house of Yahweh. So that's what we should do, encourage other people to serve God as well as serving God ourselves. He said to the Levites who taught all Israel, "Put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, built. There shall no more be a burden on your shoulders. Now serve Yahweh your God." So they hadn't put the ark even in the temple at that time. Things are really bad. They weren't even aware of God's word completely. They hadn't kept the Passover as they should have done. So it shows how really, really far away even Judah had gone, let alone Israel. "Prepare yourselves after your father's houses, according to how David, king of Israel, commanded. Stand in the holy place, according to the division of the fathers' houses of your brothers, the children of the people. Kill the Passover, sanctify yourselves." Josiah gave to the children of the people of the flock, lambs and young goats, all of them for the Passover offerings, to all who were present, 30,000 bulls. These were of the king's substance. Now, he'd rather forgotten the spirit of David. When David had sinned with Bathsheba, he says, "You don't want sacrifice, or else I'd give it." What God wants is a broken and a humble heart. So all this huge number of animals, I mean, bulls are pretty big animals. Once you're in the 30,000 of bulls, the amount of blood and the smell of them burning would have been absolutely awful. His princes gave for a free will offering to the people, to the priests and to the Levites. They gave 2,600 small livestock and 300 head of cattle. So there's even more. And then Conaniah, Shemaiah, and Nethanel, his brothers, Hashabiah, Jeiel, and Jozabad, the chief of the Levites, gave 5,000 small livestock and 500 head of cattle. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their place, and the Levites by their divisions. They killed the Passover, and the priests sprinkled the blood which they received of their hand. So there'd been a huge amount of blood. So they do all this as it is written in the book of Moses. They roasted the Passover with fire according to the commandment. They boiled the holy offerings in pots and in pans and carried them quickly to all the people. Afterward, they prepared for themselves. The singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place according to the commandment of David. The porters were at every gate. And so the service of Yahweh was prepared the same day to keep the Passover. The children of Israel who were present kept the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. There was no Passover like it kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. Well, he became king at 8 years old, so he was 26 when he did this. Huge amount of practical arrangement, and it keeps saying in the record that he did it all according to what was written. So, lots of ticks there, as it were, for Josiah, although I think he didn't quite get it that God is not pleased with tens of thousands of animals and rivers of blood. But after this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, went up to fight against Carchemish by the Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. But the king of Egypt sent messengers to him, saying, "What have I got to do with you, king of Judah? I'm not coming against you, but I'm coming against other people at Carchemish. God commanded me to make haste and do this. Beware, and know that God is with me, so that he doesn't destroy you." But Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him, and didn't listen to the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. The archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, "Take me away, I'm seriously wounded." So his servants took him out of the chariot, put him in the second chariot that he had, and brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried in the tombs of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah. Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. So, what are we to make of Josiah? Well, he was so good, but it seems he messed up right at the end. It could be that what he did was more unwise than it was a sin. It could also reflect a lack of a complete faith, thinking, well, I better destroy the king of Egypt, seeing that he's coming kind of near me. I'll take this opportunity. And he obviously isn't recorded as asking for God's advice. And so he died. You may think that was a bit extreme, but we've got to remember that the overall judgment of God on Josiah is very positive. And so somebody can maybe at the very end of their life be unwise and do wrong things and show a lack of complete faith, and yet God may still overall accept them. Now, it's true what Ezekiel says, that if someone's righteous all their life and then turns away at the end, then they won't be saved. But it seems to me that in Josiah's case, this was more a question of unwisdom rather than actually turning right away from God. So it's interesting reading these records because you see how God judges slightly differently in every case. And we mustn't judge other people because we cannot judge. We don't know their hearts. We don't know the situation and the circumstances around them.